Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you that you are the God of love. Thank you, Lord, you are our Father in heaven, and you have deep concern for us. And Lord, we honor you. We submit ourselves to you. And Lord, I ask now by your Spirit, you would stir our hearts. Lord, your desire is that we'll be free. Spirit, soul, and body. And Lord, we ask that you would help us each to embrace all that you've provided for us. We give thanks to you. Over the years, I've come to have a much deeper appreciation for who God is. And I would like this morning to try and communicate something in the short time we have. And so if you're able to really connect in. Now, you might feel a bit tired. You might feel, well, I'm a gossip. It's not really funny. But, you know. So the first thing I want to say is, according to the Word of God. Now, do you believe that the Word of God is the Word of God? That's the first problem. Do you believe it is the Word of God? Because this is what the Word of God says, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Is that true? Are you one of the all? Then you've sinned. Let's just accept it. Let's not get all high and mighty and think, oh. No, we've all sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. Why did God give us His Word? Question. Why did God send Jesus? Question. To deal with sin. To set you free. Do you believe that? God loves us, and His heart is to save, protect, and bless. I'll say that again. Because this is the way you have to view God. God loves us, and His heart is to save, protect, and bless. Sounds good? Sounds good to me. Does it sound good to you? You sure? Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 to 20. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death. Blessings and curse. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to His voice and hold fast to Him, for the Lord is your life. This is Old Testament. This is Moses speaking to the children of Israel before they go into the promised land. He says he sets before them life. But there's choice. There's a problem here. And this is the problem for humans. We've all got a choice. Now, some of us think it's very difficult to live the Christian life. But this is Old Testament. And if you go to verse 11, this is what it says. Do you see what it says? Now, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult. This is God speaking to the people. It's not too difficult. Now, this is Old Testament. This is dispensation of law. It's not even under the grace. But he's saying in the Old Testament it wasn't too difficult. So we come into the New Testament, and this is what we find in 2 Peter 1, 3 to 4. His divine power has given us everything. You want to participate with me this morning? Say everything. Who has given you everything? His divine power. It's not your power, it's not your ability. God, in His kindness, in His goodness, in His desire for us to be free, in His desire for us to be blessed, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Now there's a little problem there. Evil desires. Put your hand up. No, that's an instruction. It's not a asking, it's an instruction. Put your hand up. I have evil desires. If you got flesh, you got evil desires. That's a reality of our life. You've got them. But God doesn't want you to be ruled by them, governed by them, and submit to them. And he's provided all you need. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't he a good God? We'll see. The Word of God is the handbook of life. He has not withheld anything from us. See, I'm trying to keep this really positive, because it's true. God is good. If you wander off the path of the God is good, you're going to fall in a pit. God is good and wants good things for you. God's word instructs us how to live for our good. Now, we sung a song before about what we believe. Do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Well, we're going to have a look to see what the Word of God says about itself, because this is what we need to embrace. Romans 12, 1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not. Now, we're going to do some do nots today. That's fairly clear, you know. Do not. Do you need any definition for that? Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let's have a little look at definition here. Pattern. Pattern is the fashion. It is what you copy. It's what you imitate. What is it telling you? Do not imitate the things in the world. Do not copy anything in the world. First point. Second, but be transformed. You know what transformed means? Change. If you are professing to be a Christian, you need to change. Now, what do we know about humans? They do not like change. Most of them. Especially if they're clinging to things that they like. But the scripture says, you got to change. So there's really your first issue. Are you willing to change? I'm being serious, because last week when Mark Sains was talking to us about the scripture, he gave us a little card. And it talked about the conviction of the Spirit. And we must know what the Word of God says. And we must measure things in terms of what the Word of God says and measure our life. If our life is not in order with the Word of God, what does that mean? No, you're not listening. It means change. Maybe we need to say that word to get it into our vocabulary. Change. But we need to say, I need to change. We're very quick to say, they need to change. We're all for other people changing. No, I need to change. By the renewing, do you know what that means? To renovate. Oh, a lot of us like to renovate our houses. New furniture, new paint. This is what's needed in here. You've got a dirty, messy temple. And God wants to make it beautiful and clean. And he wants it to look in a particular way. Your mind. You know what your mind is? Most of us think we know what our mind is. It's thoughts and understanding. Okay, that's the definition. Being a Christian means change. Because when you're born again, something is supposed to happen. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us what's supposed to happen. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed. What was the definition of transformed? Changed. Into his likeness. Whose likeness? The Lord's. Christ's. With ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I'm going to say some things that are in your face. If you refuse to change, are you listening? Everyone listening? Because you can't tell God that you didn't understand or you didn't hear. If you're here this morning, you're hearing and you need to understand. If you refuse to change, you're in disobedience, and this is, say it, sin. If I'm in disobedience, I'm in sin. If I refuse to change, I'm in sin. Do you understand? I'd really like everyone to understand. Why is renewing your mind so important? I've got a little book here. It was given to me, I think, for Christmas, maybe. A few people have got this. Just give me a wave if you've got this book. It's called Switch on Your Brain. It's written by Dr. Caroline Leaf. She's a scientist, Christian. I haven't read much of it, but I read enough to know that something I believed about the Word of God is now being proved scientifically, and that's what she also does. She's proving scientifically what the Word of God says. You know what's happened? There's nothing new under the sun, because God created everything, and He created you, and He knows how your mind works. He knows how the whole of you work, and He knows how you're supposed to work. And you know what scientists are doing? They're only just discovering how God made it. They think they're making discoveries. No, they're not. God knows. And in His Word, He told us how to live. Do you know why? So that you can have life in all its fullness. Do you recall Jesus saying that? That's why He doesn't want you to be under any sort of burden or bondage. Let me read a couple of things to you. This is about your mind and brain. There's been a big debate in science. Does the brain control the mind, or does the mind control the brain? And many of us probably think it's the one and the same thing. But not according to science. There's a whole list of these. I'm just going to give you a couple. Your mind is the most powerful thing in the universe after God. Have you thought about that? Your mind, the power of your thinking. Free will and choice are real. Spiritual and scientific facts. Free will, choice. That's what God gave us. You can develop your spirit through choices you make in your mind to be led by the Holy Spirit. Your body is not in control of your mind. Your mind is in control of your body, and your mind is stronger than your body. Mind certainly is over matter. You cannot control the events and circumstances of life, but you can control your reaction to those events and circumstances. When you think, you build thoughts. Now listen to this carefully. And these become physical substances in your brain. Did you hear that? I'll read it again. When you think, you build thoughts, and these become physical substances. Physical substances in your brain. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. Here's another one we've got to connect up. Good thinking equals good choices equals healthy thoughts. Toxic thinking equals toxic choices equals toxic thoughts. Now, Philip's already spoken to us about gossip and how toxic that is. But the fact is, if we do things contrary to the Word of God, it's toxic, particularly with regard to our thoughts. There's also in this book a whole heap of statistics, and I'm not going to read a whole bunch to you, but let me read a paragraph. Stress, stage one, is normal. This is an alert state that keeps us focused and conscious and is the state we are in when we are thinking in alignment with God. Stress, stage two and three, however, are mind and body's response to toxic thinking. Normal stress gone wrong. Even a little bit of these negative levels of stress from a little bit of toxic thinking has far-reaching consequences for mental and physical health. And they say a study by the American Medical Association found that stress is a factor in 75% of all illnesses and diseases that people suffer today. Now, I'm going to tell you some of the things that the Word of God tells you you should do, because God has told us these things to protect us. God's Word has power and it judges. Hebrews 4, 12 to 13. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. It's the Word of God. Nothing in your life is hidden from God. No thought, no attitude, no behavior. It's not hidden. The Scripture actually says it's laid bare. If you go and study these words, it means naked. You're naked before God. And even worse than that, you're in a position where He's exposing it. That's what that word says. We may be able to hide most things from some and some things from others, but nothing is hidden from God, and we must give an account. That's what the Word of God says. You're going to give an account for these things. There is a consequence for our choice. I want you to hear this, because this is critical. There is always consequence for your choice. Consequence means there is a result or an outcome. I'm going to give you a few examples, because these are real things, and they work in your life. And for some people, they make you sick. For some people, it makes you physically sick. What they discovered is that your thoughts actually produce a chemical release in your brain that sets up a thought pattern. If you're a negative person, you have in your mind a negative tree that's produced by chemicals, and you always gravitate towards the negative thinking. It can change. You know how it can change? By the renewing of your mind. That's why the Scriptures tells us. Your mind must be renewed, because if you're thinking contrary to the Word of God, it's toxic. Philippians 4, 6 to 9. Now, I did a little search this morning. You remember years ago, some of you in the church, we had a whole list of scriptures called the One Another Scriptures. Does anyone remember that? All one. Well, the One Another Scriptures were basically, am I my brother's keeper? What's the answer to that? You are your brother's keeper. So it had a whole lot of scriptures about one another, what we should do for one another, our attitudes to one another. I was looking up the scriptures only in the New Testament that said, do not. Because if I really believe God, my Father, really cares for me, when He says, do not, why is He saying that? He's saying that to protect me. If I say to my son, do not go on the road on your push bike, why am I saying that? Because there's big trucks and cars, and you could get run over and die, even though somehow angels seem to protect Tavis from that. Because we did have a report one day of him riding down the wrong side of the road, no hands, no helmet, and praise God. God loves you. The reason He says these things is He wants health and life for you. He wants you to be free from every bondage. Do not be anxious about anything. Okay, let's do a little quiz. It's hard. Yes, Debbie, it's hard. But what did it say? What did that first verse say? You remember what it said? No, verse 11, what did it say? Now what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you. See, it depends on what you believe. That's why I'm trying to hit you with this, and I'm trying to hit you between the eyes. Oh, it's hard. It's not too difficult. Because God is on your side. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. So now here's the solution. God never tells you not to do something without a solution. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, this consequence, look at the consequence. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is supernatural peace. Where does it come from? It comes from God. But what have I got to do to get that supernatural peace? I've got to say, I'm not to worry. What am I to do? Okay, I've got to turn to God. See, the instruction's there, isn't it? Isn't the words exactly there for us? Finally, brothers, whatever is true, take Philip's thing. You know, the world's promoting all this negativity. But look what the scripture says, the word of God, the word of life to you. What does it say? Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what are you to do? Think about those things. Can we do that? Of course you can, because the scripture tells us that that's what God wants. And he will empower us to do that. Whatever you have learned from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. What's the consequence? God's presence. I challenge you to go, and when you're reading the scripture, look for the consequence of what the scripture is telling you. Because it tells you. So first off, you're going to have the peace of God that transcends understanding. Supernatural peace will settle upon your mind if you do what the scripture says. The presence of God will be near you if you do these things. Okay, let's wrap it up. These ones aren't going to come up on the screen. James 1, 22, 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. The man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, consequence, he will be blessed in what he does. I want you to go and look for these things because they're all there. It tells you. Now, I've got a little illustration. Just think of your favorite restaurant. Your favorite restaurant. And you go to that restaurant and you order your favorite meal. Have you got it? It's nearly lunchtime. So we're just getting you ready for lunch, okay? You got that favorite meal, taste buds starting to flow. So you go in and you sit down and you order your meal. And they bring it out and it's just as you want it. And you start to eat it and you put it in your mouth and you're chewing it and chewing it and chewing it and then you spit it out. And you do that for your whole meal. You're tasting it, and you spit it all out. Has it done your body any good? You might have had a nice taste in your mouth while you're eating it, or chewing it, but it's not doing your body any good. And this is what happens. Can I be so bold as to say this is what happens every Sunday? We come along, and the Word of God is opened. And we hear the word of God. But we're supposed to put it into practice. See, we're supposed to swallow it. We're supposed to put it into us. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. But in the same verse it says, but the gift of God is eternal life. Sin equals death. God's gift is eternal life. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Consequence of confession is forgiveness and purity. Okay, I've given you enough. I started to write down a few of the do not worries. Now, if you do a word search on do not worry in the New Testament, you'll come up with about 450 plus. But they're not all related specifically to what we're talking about. So But I just pulled a few out, just run through really, really quickly. Do not worry. Do not judge. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false testimony. Do not doubt. Do not covet. Do not curse. Do not be proud. Do not be conceited. Do not take revenge. Do not grumble. Do not cause anyone to stumble. Do not be deceived. Do not give up. Do not sin. Do not give the devil a foothold. Do not be foolish. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not harden your heart. God has given us everything we need for life and for righteousness. It's a table spread before us. Now, choose life. Have we got those prayer points up on the... That's five, yeah. When Mark was taking us through the prayers last week, afterwards we're talking to a few people, and they said that there's some things in here they really, really liked. And, you know, some of us have been through all sorts of evangelistic things over the years. But point one is, Lord Jesus, I receive you. It's not just a confession of acknowledgement of Christ. It's not just saying, Lord Jesus, you are. It's, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. The second one that a number of people I heard say really helped them was this issue of being cleansed from their sin. Lord Jesus, forgive and cleanse me from all sin. And he spoke about how that was not just the sin that we've done, but sins that have been done to us. Now, I think it'd be good for us to all agree with God this morning. Everyone in favor with that? So, I don't know if you're convicted by the gossip or hopefully by the Holy Spirit. We need to be a holy people. That's what we're called to be like him, change from glory to glory. So let's stand. And if anyone specifically wants prayer, we're going to offer that. But let's go through these prayers together. But with a focus, not, look, just don't read them. Connect. You're talking to the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Glory, our Savior. Let's rededicate our life to him, but let's really take these words into our heart. Let's get free. Let's have the Word of God manifest in us. Okay? Let's go. Lord Jesus, I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, forgive and cleanse me from all sin. Lord Jesus, break the power of the devil off my mind, body, soul, and spirit. Lord Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, close me with power so I can live for you and tell others about you. I invite the worship team to return. We're going to sing together. If anyone wants personal prayer, I invite you to come while we sing together.